you may have read some of Parker Palmer's writings. If you haven't, Parker comes from sort of the Quaker tradition, but most notably his writings are about the inner journey and understanding how our life fits together. And one of his sort of insightful, because it was about his life works, he talked about his adventure is actually coming out of a really dark time in his life, and he felt that he needed to begin to move forward, and so he attended something called Outward Bound, which is, some of you know, especially back in the day, I'm sure it still exists, but this kind of adventure, do high risk challenge kind of activities, young people working on them together to teach, inner strength and relying on one another, that sort of thing, leadership building. Anyway, the thing that he feared the most finally came to fruition when it was time to rappel down about a 110-foot cliff. He was afraid of heights, didn't want to do this, but he knew it was coming. And he says in his memoir that, they tied basically a thin, not too strong, almost unraveling rope around his waist. He was certain that that would fail. And then they said, go. And he said, what do you mean? And he said, well, just start. Go over the edge and rappel down. And sort of the motto is just go, and so he did. And immediately he swung into the cliff, and he hit his head and kind of pretty much teeth-jarring, body-jarring jolt. And there he was hanging about 4 feet down against the cliff. And the guide above said, I don't think you're doing it quite right. He said, really? What should I do? And this guy said, well, what you really need to do is to lean back and put your feet against the rock and lay all the way back and walk down, put your weight on your feet. It's the only way that you can do this. I know it doesn't make sense, but it's the only way. Parker said, well, I was certain that he was crazy. I knew better than that. The way to get down this mountain was to grab a hold of the mountain as closely as you possibly could. Do not let go of that mountain. And so he fell about another 4 feet, bumping and bumping, and until he got to another little cliff. And the guy above said, I still don't think you're doing this right. And he said, what do I need to do again? He gave him the instructions, and Parker said, I just leaned back and prayed to the heaven above as I looked, and lo and behold, he was against the cliff, and he started to get a little confidence. He could move his feet one by one and started descending a little bit, and each step giving him just a little bit more confidence. And then the instructor below said, Parker, you need to look below you. Well, he didn't want to look below him at all. That was against the point of getting this done. Well, sure enough, he looked down, and there was a big hole in the side of this cliff, and he realized that there was no going through it. And the instructor said to him, what are you thinking? And he verified by those that were listening to him, witnesses, he said in a really squeaky voice, I don't want to talk about it. And so there he was, dangling, certain to death before him. And the instructor said, let me give you our motto. And he thought, really, this is what this kindly young girl is going to do before I plunge to my death, is give me the motto. And she said, our motto is, if you can't get around it, get into it. If you can't get around it or can't get out of it, get into it. And he said, I knew about word becoming flesh. But he said, at that moment, I understood what it was, because somehow bypassing my mind and my common sense, he said, I recognized as I hung there that there was not going to be a helicopter come and rescue me. I didn't have a parachute strapped to my back that would allow me to float down safely. The instructors certainly were not going to pull me back up. If I was going to go at all, I was simply going to have to swing to one side or the other. I was going to have to alter my course. I was going to have to let go of the confidence, little confidence I had to get there. If you can't get out of it, get into it. And he said, my feet were strangely and spiritually empowered, and he began to do the work that was necessary. He swung around, got around it, and before he knew it, he was back on the ground. If you can't get out of it, get into it. I share that this morning because it does deal, number one, with his fears. It addresses the issue that we are really good at getting out of things that we don't want to do, especially getting out of the things that are in our life that we want to avoid. Annie Dillard says, the truth of the spiritual journey is that it is downward and inward. It's not out and above into some sort of abstract life. The truth of our journey is inward and downward. Downward into the darkness. Downward into the things that we don't want to look at in ourselves. Downward into the place where we recognize that the enemy is us. And if we're unwilling to take that journey, we'll start blaming other people and we'll say, well, they're the enemy and they're the enemy and those people. And we will do an amazing job of finding 1,000 ways to blame everybody else in the world for the darkness that is in us. We'll try to get out of it the best that we can. And we're good at getting out of it. Easter, and I know the challenge is to come in and we want to be excited. We want to have a good uplifting message. The challenge is that we can't get out of it. We can't simply come to Easter and have a pithy saying and find our way to anything meaningful. I would love to tell you something different, but the truth compels me with these 9 young people here who God has entrusted their life to us now and forward, that we must tell the truth. We must do the work. We can't evade the hole and the darkness and the journey itself. Otherwise, we'll just be a sham of what we think we are. We won't give life and hope to others. We'll continue to shine our darkness upon them and make enemies of others and find every reason in the world to avoid the dark work that is within us to find so that we can find the good news. Now, there is good news. Now, some of you have probably heard the Easter story before. Am I right? Most people? Yeah? So this morning's reading was nothing new to you. We get most of the details right. Maybe Matthew's version, because they're all a little bit different, might have caught your ear, but there are some common themes, and I want to just walk through this idea of the journey and getting into it, and why Easter moves us this way. It says that there we understand Jesus crucified, dead, and buried. Now, as a church, we don't like to talk about that part. I mean, we have Holy Week services, and because so few people come to Holy Week services, we had to start moving them to Palm Sunday. Because the acknowledgement is that we as the church are absolutely terrified to come and face the darkness of our lives. We want our faith to simply glide us around the difficult parts. When our personal lives face challenges, we're glad to have help and some pats on the back and some encouraging words, but we haven't prepared for it. And so we're not certain that Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, but we profess that we believe that. But we'd like to just kind of bypass that and come to Easter. So let's assume that we did. We're here on Easter, but I don't know if you've ever noticed that every Easter story, we end up talking about women. We talk about women because in the midst of the darkness and the waiting and the frightening and the disciples running off in discouragement and their own fears, within the great witness of our faith, there are women, a few women, who understand what it means to wait and to come and to be present and maybe have gone down their own journey and seen what darkness looks like. If there's anyone equipped to wait, it is women who bring life into this world and wait for months as it develops and comes into the world. Watch what a giraffe does that is expecting a little giraffe. When the world seems overwhelming and dark, it's interesting how we glom onto some hope. We need new life, and it is in women so often that new life shows itself. It is in the birth and the rebirth and the newness and the hope that comes in the next one. So women are uniquely equipped, and we shouldn't be surprised that indeed they, even without fully understanding, were equipped to wait and to go into the dark places. And there Mary Magdalene and another Mary sat. Having seen Jesus buried, they came back on the first day after the Sabbath and sat across from the tomb looking, understanding that in their grief, Jesus lay inside. And it says an angel came, the coolest angel in all of Scripture, because this angel comes down like lightning. He moves a big old boulder. He sits on the boulder like, yeah, take that, Pilate. Take that, Caiaphas. Take that, world. There's nothing going to keep this tomb closed. And the soldiers, brave soldiers around, fall dead in fear. And here are these two women. And the first word that the angel says to them is, do not be afraid. Now, this is what was new for me. Parker helped me to hear this and why I think it is fresh news for us this morning. So often, I think we hear, do not be afraid, as a call to courage, to be strong, to deny if I'm afraid that's wrong. I want you to hear this as the Easter message. It isn't that you don't have fear. It's not that we are unafraid of things. Fear is a part of our life, just like coming and rappelling down a cliff, just like driving our cars, just like having children, just like living life every day. Fear is part of our natural responses. The angel didn't say, don't have any fear in you. The angel said, don't become the fear. Don't be the fear. Yes, the fear lives in you, but so does hope and love and kindness and grace and patience and self-control, fruits of the Spirit. Don't become the fear. Now, the soldiers that were there, they became the fear, and they were petrified, literally turned to stone like dead men. They saw the same thing these women saw, and they embraced the fear, they became the fear, and they fell like dead men. But these women that the angel told, do not become the fear. Instead, come and look where he was, and then go quickly and tell his disciples who are hiding in fear, who feel outcast and put apart, who have scattered to the winds, go and tell them that he is risen and that he will meet them in Galilee. Go quickly. And you know what they did? They did that. They didn't become the fear. They became hope or joy. It says, after they looked in the tomb, I'm sure expecting to see Jesus there, facing the fears that either he was there or even scarier that he wasn't, because now Jesus is loose in the world. Here's someone back from the dead, back from where we securely locked him, back from where the soldiers sealed the tomb, back from where the high priest and religion said, make sure he's dead because we're the ones who keep everything safe and calm and in place and doesn't change and make sure community never changes and we never look different than we are and we never do anything except go along with what happens. That's what religion says. Lock him away securely. We're afraid that he might be up and loose. Well, they all were in the fear, and they fell like dead men, and the tomb was unsealed, and the angel laughed at them, and these two women simply did what they were asked to do. They went and looked into the dark places, and they recognized that in the darkness, you know who wasn't there? Jesus. And they had hope, and it says they ran, still having fear in their hearts, but they were also filled with great joy. They had fear and joy. You see, that's another component we have within us. There's another hope, another possibility. Fear and surrendering to that or living into that being the fear is not our only choice. So they went to find the disciples, and on their way of just doing what they were asked to do, still embodying fear but not being the fear like the soldiers and the disciples, and on their way, Jesus ran into them and said, greetings. And they saw him, and because they were just simply going to do and to tell what they had seen, they chose another path other than fear in their life. They didn't choose the other enemies. They didn't find themselves at odds with the soldiers or with the government or with other religions or with other people of nationalities. They didn't find themselves at odds with any of them. They simply tapped into the joy of their risen Lord, and there they saw Jesus. And he said, don't be afraid. Don't be the fear. And by the way, go tell my brothers, you know, the ones who deserted me, the ones who ran away, the ones who thought they could never stand in my presence again, they're not enemies, they're my brothers. Go tell them this is reconciliation time. And you know what they did? They did that. They went to tell them. So brothers and sisters, this morning as we are getting ready to confirm these young people, as they take another step, having faced things that are difficult and challenging, having being willing to take a next step and not become the fear, but to choose other options that are on their plate, like the grace of hope and trust and love and kindness and self-control, all of the things Paul talks about, which none of them have to do with fear. Timothy says, the Lord didn't give you the spirit of fear. Fear exists, but it's not the thing that controls us. As we welcome them and we promise as a congregation not to hide from the truth, not to be afraid to look at the difficult and the darkness, even death itself, not to avoid it like we do and try to do as we manipulate other people, not to duck from it and pretend it doesn't exist, not to try to control the world and make order of all things when it is in chaos and turmoil and death and resurrection that new things are created. I ask and invite you in this Easter message to hear what the angel said. Don't be the fear that you feel. Don't become that. Don't be petrified. Instead, rise up and go and tell and show and do and pray and be in community together and to be willing to be truthful with each other and to be willing to take the inward and downward journey of spirituality so that you may come into Easter and find that when He is risen and risen indeed, we can embrace it because we say, that's kind of scary, but it's also the best news ever. And I know it's good news because I have no illusions left that I'm somehow a super creature that is destined not to die, that somehow I'm not a person who will fall to the circumstances of difficult things happening, that I'm not immune to death itself or illness or all the brokenness of relationships or all the things that assail us, but that we see those and we choose not to be fear. Will you do that? If not for yourself, will you do that for these brothers and sisters in Christ? Because you're equipped in your baptism. You're equipped in your community. You're equipped by the one who is risen from the dead. Amen? Amen. If the ushers will come, let us give thanks and joyful offering. It may be scary, but you know what? Don't be the fear. Be the generosity of the life of Christ and the truth of His salvation.